Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got a topic this morning that I just think is fun. If ever you have gone into an environment, a social gathering, which is so common during this time of the holidays, and you're there and you're a stranger and you're looking at people and you go, I wonder what they're like. I wonder if I could talk to this person. I wonder if I could do this, that, or the other. This is something that's very normal. But are you aware that there is a methodology that you could use to strike up a conversation? And what is it? It's observing a person's hands. Now, that is something that we're going to be going into. I have a delightful guest today, Barbara Berg. Her book is titled Ring Shui, and it's about how we wear rings, what is the significance on the positioning of the hand, can you change your life if you change where you wear your rings. Barbara Berg, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, and I love this stuff, especially the holiday season where people wear their rings is most telling because people wear more rings during the holidays than any other time.
Barbara, and we were discussing this for just a tiny bit before we went on air. Cultures throughout the world at different points in history when we've been able to figure out details. Rings have held a significance in the native cultures. It has always symbolized the circle of life. We've even had a song that was done, and I think it was in The Lion King. And, you know, this is so important. The ring is significant. In our Western culture, the wedding ring, this is a contract. This is a binding contract until you choose to discard it. This is something that I find so incredibly interesting. I want to know, how is it that you decide you are going to become a specialist in ring shui?
Donna, it fell in my lap. I've always been interested in human behavior, and I write self-help books. So I start out writing them for myself, and then they help other people, hopefully. And I was writing my second book, How to Escape the Know-In Trap, and I was working first with women and then with men on who seems to be satisfied long-term in relationships and who just never seems to get it right for themselves. During that time, I was wearing rings on my middle finger and going through a rough divorce. Who knew? This man who knew energy said, Barbara, take the rings off your middle fingers. You're going to have conflict. You want love in your life. It's going to push love away. I took them off, never thinking about it again. Then I noticed as I was doing research for the book, there is a system inside our subconscious of people who are inclined to be dissatisfied and people who are inclined to be satisfied where they wear the rings. And I saw a pattern, and it all came out in an interview, and I called it hand shui at first, and now it's ring shui. And it just came to me over time.
I think it is absolutely fascinating to observe people, and being in the ability of working with mind as I do, as an intuitive, as a psychic, I find that when you do just sit and watch people and you watch how they do things, it's so telling. And someone might say, oh, well, Donna, then you're reading stuff off of people physically. Well, we all do. We all
respond. Yes, we do.
And when I picked up, when I got your book and I was reading through it, I can recall being around women and men. Now, this is interesting. You don't often see men wearing multiple rings. But I had an experience with someone, and this goes back a number of years. I was at the time working for Frito-Lay in Westchester, California. And this man came up to me, and he showed me a ring on his hand, and it was horrific. I had such a repulsion.
Yeah.
It was just hideous. when I saw it. And there was nothing he did. He was gracious. He was friendly. And I'll never forget, I couldn't quite see what it was. And it was this very dark stone. And I don't remember what finger at this moment. It might have been on the middle finger or on the forefinger. I don't recall which one at this moment. But when he put it in front of me, I pulled back. It was just really something. And I thought, oh, Donna, what's the matter with you? And I found out then the history of the ring. Apparently, it belonged to John Wilkes Booth.
Whoa.
And the energy from that was phenomenal. But what repulsed me was the visual. And when I read your book, this story just popped back in my head, you know, this experience. And I thought, okay, this man, what was repulsing me was a part of his persona. Because that ring to him meant he felt empowered by it. Now, who wants to be empowered by someone or something that is going to have such a mentality to it of destruction? And I that's what repulsed me. And I thought this was really interesting. And in your book, that's something you go into. You go into the placement, just like you mentioned a moment ago. And I've seen men have, I'm thinking of one ring. It was about a square inch. I'm not exaggerating. It was on, it was such a big ring. The guy had it on his middle finger. And this was this past fall. And I thought, you know, that's really repulsive. What in the world is that guy doing with that ring on his finger?
Donna, I just have to tell you, it's amazing you talk about the middle finger. That is really borrowed power that doesn't last long. Many times in history, kings would wear the ring in the middle finger. That's actually represented by Saturn energy in the middle finger. And what's so interesting, the last 25 years, the greatest increase in wearing of rings is on the middle finger. And what it really means is you'll have some power, but it won't last long. It will crash and burn. And as we're thinking we want to move closer to relationships, we're really going to our subconscious, I can't trust anyone. I might as well do it all myself. The left hand means you'll always pick up the tab no matter what happens, and the right hand means I'll inevitably be alone. And that's where we're going. And so many rings are landing on the middle finger, and it's a repulsion. And when you feel you need to wear it, sometimes you do when you're doing your own thing, but too long you'll be isolated. It's a very, very intense power.
It intrigues me how the subconscious works with this. And
yeah.
When you see different scenes, like in movies, and since I read your book, I thought, oh, this is cool, because many of the women who are portrayed as leaders, especially in past history, let's say Queen Elizabeth, what have you, they wear multiple rings, and the forefinger, is the one that they have it. So that's the one you point with.
Now, the forefinger is a Jupiter finger. That's a good manifester. Those are more transformational. They at times can have some magic to it, especially when you couple it with a ring on the pinky. That's the Mercury energy. But I'd rather see forefingers than middle finger rings. That can lead us to new cooperative ways of going. It's also a certain kind of power. But for today, it's a law of attraction kind of finger where you'll actually try something new in a cooperative way. It's a powerful ring, but I have also seen some grand dame actresses. I was at an award banquet on Monday night. They came in, they had rings on their left and right index fingers. That's a different kind of power. It's more transformational.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, the pinky. No, let's talk about the thumb for a minute. Because very rarely have I seen rings on thumbs. I think the last 10 years with women, I don't see it with men. I think maybe it's a handful of times I've ever seen men with rings on their thumbs. Because to me, it's not comfortable. And I would think it would be a challenge. And, of course, a lot of guys do physical work, so they may not even wear rings at all because it's dangerous for them to do it. But I have noticed women putting rings on their thumbs. And I go, wonder why.
It is so trendy, Donna. also, it's become a real fashion statement. The problem is, when you wear a ring, it demonstrates, how do I connect with someone out in the world? A right thumb really means the only way I think I can keep you in a friendship or a relationship is if I overpower you, if I take care of you to the point where you can't do without me, if I'm pathologically generous. And do you know, a lot of times people can have chronic long-term illnesses when they wear the ring on the right ring finger. They're exhausted, and they will often talk about their illnesses. It is a sign of a need for power that they'll never really get.
Amazing. Now, let's discuss something here, because there are women that get engaged, they don't get married to the person, and they keep the ring. And I, with long before I ever read your book, my feeling always was, if this is not the person that you're going to marry, give the ring back to the person. Don't keep
it. Right. If this is not the person, this is not the ring.
Give it back.
What we have to see is that energy comes with those rings. Different cultures, there's a sign that the more you see that you don't see, you'll see. Our culture has refuted that. It's like, if we don't see it, it's not there. But I think we're starting to get, you want to start having senses that you haven't been using, and you need them. And energy is around rings, and the energy from which you get a ring and an energy from when the relationship goes away, that will stay with you, and it'll bring it to the next relationship.
That is so true. And I think that, and I know that happened with my husband. And one of the things that we did that he was just pleased as he could be was, when he wanted to have something made, he had all of the rings that he had, through the years, acquired that were of gold, and they were melted down and made into something to use with a tuxedo, because he loves to wear tuxedos. And so these were like those little buttons that you put in your tuxedo shirt. And
wow,
he transformed them. We took the gold that had been sitting in his jewelry box, and we just transformed it, and he's enjoyed that. It's always, you know, it's just always been wonderful for him. And I think that you can do something like that. If you have an engagement ring, or if you have items that belong to someone that really you don't want to have relevance with, you can transform it by maybe making it into something else, or
making
giving
it something
away
of yours. It's
right,
transforming. It's
mm-hmm,
taking one energy into another, and hopefully learning everything you can from that and enjoying it. Absolutely. And having the intention of what you want to feel when you're wearing that.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it joy.
Absolutely, because things can be transformed. Now, you have a number of interesting comments. You talk about the index finger. I called it the forefinger. You talk about the index finger, and you say action for change. And you have lovely photos. I don't know if these are your hands, but whoever's hands you use are just
thank you
elegant. And you have a ring on each of the, what I call the forefinger, and you say, this is very, very important. If you want change, that finger that you normally point with, have a ring on each of those, the right and the left. Why does that have a significance?
It's a great way to work with your energy. The right side of your body is the energy you put out to the world. When you go to shake hands with the world, you're literally saying, this is what I'm putting out to you. And you want to be thinking, when you shake hands with someone, what is my intention in connecting with that person? It's not just a handshake for no reason. It's a generating of one energy to the other. The left hand is the B hand, the receiving hand. That's where you get your ring from your beloved onto your left finger. So we do the action with the right hand. So when you wear a ring on your right index finger, your right forefinger, you're really saying, I am releasing old hurts out there. Hopefully I'll get help for it. I'm putting out there what I want to engage in with you. I want the world to know this about me. It's an action finger. When you're just sitting there like the queen bee, my favorite finger, my favorite story, the left index finger is you receive. I did a workshop last night with a group of women. It was easier for them, and most of the time it is, to talk about what you want to put out to the world. But what you feel is your right to receive, it's harder. But if you don't receive, you can't fully give. So you need to generate simultaneously energy of giving and receiving, putting out and bringing in. That's a relatively new idea for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. I think especially with women, that's very true.
Yeah.
Men typically don't wear, as I mentioned, a lot of rings. They might have their class ring or they might have a wedding ring. But culturally, it has often been considered a sign of vanity for, or being pompous, for a man to have a lot of jewelry. So let's talk about the guys for a minute. You're out, you're a single person, you're out, you see different guys, one that has a diamond ring that's as big as the Rock of Gibraltar, and he's flashing that all around, and that might be on his pinky. You know, you see the stories of the mafia in the movies.
Absolutely,
have
the Casanova finger, yeah.
Absolutely. So talk about that. What do women need to be aware of?
Well, first of all, it's very important for us to remember there was a time men didn't wear earrings at all, and now they're demonstrating their expression through their ears in many ways. The ring thing is coming on with men like gangbusters, so you really want to watch it. Also, testosterone still has a different energy than estrogen. So when you see a man wearing a ring, he wants you to notice it and talk about it. Women like to wear them in glee and enjoying it with each other, and they don't necessarily have to talk about them so much. But men, if you see a ring, bring it up. You'll learn an awful lot about them. If you see a man, frankly, and he's single, and he's wearing no rings at all, it's still a sign he's probably possibly a nice guy who won't complain about little things. But if he's got a pinky ring, say on his right finger, he's saying to you, I want you to talk about me and look good on my arm, and I like you, but I'm going to like my freedom even more. His left hand, he's going to brag about his abundance, and he's going to want to let you show off with him, and he's going to want you to look good with him. But also, he can take care of you if you're a good match for him. He's a bit self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. Now, if you see a man with a ring on his right ring finger, that's an interesting one. More and more men are wearing them there. That means he's got the Apollo energy. He really does love himself. He'll want a relationship. He believes in love, and he's going to be quite choicey. But you know what? He'll be lucky to have you. So you want to have high self-esteem when you're out with a guy, any guy anyway, but the right ring finger, know that he loves himself, and he'll take good care of you as long as you hold your own, too.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting observations, because it can be very, very telling. Now, what if the guy likes to wear a ring, and he's got multiple rings on his hands, whether it's the right hand or the left hand, and that forefinger is there? And I don't think men typically like to wear rings on their forefinger. But again, you look at Henry VIII, and you know, the pictures of him, and sometimes pictures of men in history that were of very prominent positionings, like in France, they wore them that way.
They sure did. And you know, there was a time that only people in prominent positions could wear rings on, say, their middle finger or their index finger. Now, more and more of that is coming to the States. In Indian astrology, forever, it seems like, men would be willing and happy to wear rings on their right index finger because they knew that was power energy. In fact, I ran into one who was an actor. And mm-hmm. he said he had to fight. This was his saying. He fought in his contract to still be able to wear a ring on his right index finger, even while he was acting, because he would keep his power there. When you want to put an idea out to the world, that's masculine energy going out for a man or a woman. And women, we play many hats and many types of energy throughout the day. So just know, when you're putting out to the world, that's your masculine do energy. That's a power connector. And when you're bringing it all in, it's more feminine. That's your left index finger. Men from different cultures seem to know that, and it's translating more here.
Interesting. Now, let's talk for a moment about the wedding finger.
Absolutely.
I was single for a lot of years before I met my husband. And I wore a ring on my left ring finger, and it was a custom-made ring. And once in a while, I might wear something on my right hand on the finger, the ring finger. But I did that for a long, long time. And I can remember telling people, I will not remove this ring from my left hand until I meet the person that I am going to marry.
And Donna, that's a very precious statement. I want to tell you, I was going through a divorce, and I was wearing a ring on my left finger, and I said, I'm married to me, myself, and I, and I had three rings there. A lot of times, that's your saying of, I am my own landmark heart connection right now. There are times we need to be married to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, more and more women are wearing rings that they give to themselves or they get somewhere else. But also do know that the catch-22 is while you're wearing your ring there, it is telling subconsciously someone else, don't come too close because I'm really not interested. I'm
right.
complete without you. So mm-hmm. I find there's a time period where you may want to wear the ring there till you meet the person you want to meet, and or you might want to take it off when you're ready so that person can come forward. So it's very interesting. Did you meet your husband while you were wearing your ring on your left finger?
Yes. Met
he
him at
knew.
Yeah.
He knew subconsciously, interesting, I'm hearing this to say to you, that he would have to come forward and show himself to you before you took the ring off so you could trust that he was the man, and he did that. Now, I want to ask you, how long did you know him before you took that ring off?
Oh, I think it was about 6 months.
Isn't that amazing? So it just probably came off one day.
Mm-hmm. So, and I just, and to this day, I do not choose to wear rings on any of my other fingers, but I wear my rings on my ring fingers, on both the right hand and the left hand.
That's stable. And what you're also doing is when you wear a ring on your right ring finger, you are supporting the ongoingness of the relationship on your left finger. There's a saying, get your wife an anniversary ring on the right ring finger and you won't go through a divorce. Actually, anniversary rings are a great way to stay away from an attorney. And you know when you get emerald and diamonds and rubies and diamonds on the right ring finger, that's truly reinforcing long-term love for the left hand. They work simultaneously and in conjunction with each other.
Isn't that fun? Now,
yeah.
When you have the thumb situation, you've got a beautiful photograph in here of,
Thank you. You know,
the thumbs, each thumb with a ring on it. That is something that when I have seen that, and that's become more and more prevalent. I participate in like a Renaissance fair, have for a number of years, and I find many of the women that are engaged in that kind of activity for that medieval environment, they will put rings on their thumbs. They also like to wear rings on their toes.
Well, did you hear what I wrote? I guess did you read what I wrote about the toes? Those are a fun demonstration of yourself. And during that crucial time, if you want someone to propose to you, he may not because his subconscious will think she's fun, but don't take her home to mama. That's a way of women expressing themselves. Girls just want to have fun. And it's also a medieval time of just saying, I want to frolic in the medieval dance of the wine and the women and things, but don't wear it if you're seriously wanting to be proposed to.
Oh, now that's fascinating.
Yeah.
That is really fascinating.
I would say,
I don't see men wearing toe rings.
On occasion, I will find them. I will have to share something with you. My husband wore them. And when I met him, he's an artist and he's also a contractor, so I think I like the mix. Well, he wore them, and a girlfriend of mine and I were laughing. When I first met him, he gave me toe rings, which I didn't like too much. I said, Marcia, what do I do? She goes, well, take that and work up. Well, I didn't keep it on very long, and soon after I took the toe ring off, he proposed to me. And he doesn't wear the toe rings anymore either.
Mm-hmm. Rhea and Venus, the two goddesses that rule the thumbs.
They are tricky. What do you think about that, Donna? We really study that. Lisa Greenfield, who's a wonderful world-class hand analyst, she really told me, Barbara, the top knuckle is Rhea. She is Jupiter's mother. She's concerned with obligation, taking care of the world, and thinking about everyone else first. And the bottom is Venus. She throws herself out there with abandonment. She'll abandon everything to just run off with a man. Picture abandoning yourself to do obligation for others. That is way over the top. That can get you ill. It can also make you think you have a lot of power over people, but you can crash and burn and get things like lupus, Crohn's disease, fibromyalgia, all those kind of feelings where you're giving your energy to the wrong place.
Very, very interesting stuff. Now, let's talk about gemstones for a minute. And in your book, Ring Shui, you go into a little bit of this. And there's so much fascinating history on the various stones. There's literally thousands of different types. And you cover a little bit of it. And I was intrigued with what you said about the opal, that if it's worn on the left index finger, you will feel exotically special and celebrated. The opal has got, at one time in history, it was revered as a holy stone. At another time in history, it's condemned as having a curse. I just loved all this stuff that goes around.
Right.
You wonder,
there's a
what,
lot. To,
what's
yeah. Well, the opal has an erotic quality to it. Gypsy women love to wear opals. In fact, I went to a workshop one time where some gypsy ladies came in. They had opals on their left index finger and golden diamonds on their left pinky finger. Do you know if you mix those two together, those are like magic? I wouldn't wear it too long because the pinky finger is Mercury and he can play jokes on you for too long and it can backfire. But if you're having an interesting day with bells on your toes and all that, wear an opal on your left index finger and diamonds and anything else on your pinky. And that's an unusual kind of energy that's very luring.
You talk about garnets, how they are very good for being
successful. They're solid state, yeah. They're good girls. They will help you accomplish your goal. They'll stick with you. They're down to earth. They're solid. They're often known as a type of a poor woman's ruby, so to speak, but I don't think there's anything poor about the garnet. It's a beautiful way to state, I'm solid. You can count on me.
Wow. There's so much fun information in your book, Ring Shui.
Thank you.
And boy, what a great topic of conversation. And the next thing you'll know after you read the book is that you're looking at everybody's hands. Is the guy wearing it on this finger or that finger or the other finger? It is going to be so much fun for you. And if you have somebody on your Christmas list that loves jewelry, loves the unusual, this would be a great gift to give them because they're going to be talking with you about it for weeks after they read it. Check out Ring Shui. It's about how your rings, where they're placed on your hands, you can move them, you can change your life, attract relationships. Go to Barbara Berg's website, ringshui.com, and that's ring, S-H-U-I. Barbara, this has been so much fun.
Thank you, Don. I really enjoyed it.
And do you have a closing thought for my audience before we say goodbye?
Really enjoy your intention for the day. When you wake up, say, what do I want to put out to the world? And start to have a ring wardrobe. And each day think, what rabbit are you chasing that day? What do you want to put out and what do you want to bring in? And most of all, what do you love about yourself? When you start there, everything else can work out. Not in a narcissistic way, but a true love.
Ring Shui. Move your rings. You can change your life. Barbara tells you what she has perceived and learned. What a fun thing to do. I just think you can have a blast with it.
Thanks.
Donna Sebo here. Go to ringshui.com. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Barbara, again, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
And Jeebus, let me know when your next book comes out.
Thank you so much, Donna.
You're welcome, Barbara.
Thank
Donna
you.
Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open, and if you would like to give me a buzz, call me at 888-627-6008. We have a caller on the line waiting, so let's show you how it's done. And again, that is 888-627-6008. Hello, caller. Where are you calling in from? First name or initial, please.
Hi, Donna. This is Sheila from Katy, Texas.
From where?
From Katy, Texas.
From Texas. Oh, my goodness. I understand certain areas of Texas are having some pretty heavy dust storms right now.
Yeah, it's windy out. I think I'm going to probably find my garage door sailing down the road here shortly. The house has got a fault of its own today. It's so windy.
Oh, my goodness. That is really something. Well, I hope it doesn't last very long for you guys because those dust storms are miserable. Well, let's get down to business.
You hate them.
Let's get down to business with you. First of all, you have an excellent mind. You are a person that could be thrown into chaos, and within a very short period, you'd have things organized. You'd be great if you were working for any kind of a disaster relief program, any kind of a business environment that needs creative resolutions to whatever is going on. You have a knack of working with people. You're no nonsense. You're very, very direct. And at the same time, you're very thoughtful and compassionate. But I will say this, you're exhausted. You have absolutely gotten almost to the point where you're going to slam into a wall. And I use that figuratively. You need to know you've got to make it okay that you can back away, say no, and just sort of shut down. And if that means you check into a motel for a weekend or you find a place that's a haven for you, you need to do this because you have got 5 very intensive years ahead of you. So there are going to be so many people that want you to be in their space. Because of the way you think, because of the way you organize, because of the efficiency factor, you're great with other people, but you've got to start being good to yourself. Because, yes, your life is meant to be of service to others, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you don't need to wipe yourself into nothingness and just get exhausted where you become ill. So this is something that I'm looking at that really is important for you to remember. Because in 2013, there's a number of elements in your life that you have been working very diligently towards perfecting. Disciplines, you're really wanting to expand in your work. You are very committed and dedicated. When you give your word, you're there. It's not fluff. You keep your word. That is very, very important. But you've got to remember to take care of yourself. So you've got some pretty important decisions that are looming in 2013, but I want you, I honestly want you to be deliberate and take some time after the first of the year. Closet yourself away someplace, and I want you to really think about how you want to structure time for yourself. And you need to be religious about it. I don't care if somebody's dropping a bomb in the next community. No way. I'm doing this for myself. Because you have tremendous responsibilities that are coming into your life. And you're not afraid of these responsibilities. You're perfectly capable of doing them. I just don't want to see you so exhausted that you have physical health problems that are not necessary. You just don't need to have that. Do you have a question for me?
Thank you. No, that's what I needed to know. I've always enjoyed listening to you back in the Herb Shaling show in Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, my goodness. How in the world did you get to Texas from Anchorage?
Yeah, I guess I like the big states.
Oh, my word. Well, how delightful for you to call in and be aware of the show. Tell your friends, because I really love doing this. But I think that you really need, you've got so many things coming into play, Sheila. So many things coming
into play. Thank you, and you're spot on with a lot of things, certainly. I do actually have a question in regards to my relationship with my son. I don't feel that it's wrong.
How old is your son, and what's his first name?
He's 32. His name is Michael.
Okay, now you cut out. He's 32.
Oh, he's 32. His name is Michael.
All right. With Michael, there is a reason why there is this distance, and you need to honor it. You are so strong as a woman that in many ways he has a resentment about the strength that you have because he doesn't feel that he has this within himself. And this is part of his learning curve. He's only 32 years of age. I wouldn't even be concerned over this. I would just keep it light. Just stay in touch with him. But don't try to keep a strong bond with him. Don't try to do that. Because he, in his own way, will come into your environment once he has proven to himself who he is. Interestingly enough, with Michael, his manly rite of initiation has been going on for the past 5 years. It didn't happen when he was a teenager. I find it so interesting in today's world. Young men, when they would make their transition, when you look at, let's say, the 40s, the 50s, and maybe even in the middle 60s, they would go into their transition in their late teens through their early, let's say, 20s, 21, 22. So the rite of manhood was done then. Today, my goodness, it's so much later. And it has to do with our education system. It has to do with societal attitudes and talking about young adults as if they're children when they're not. They're not children. Children are little people. When you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age, you are an adult. You are a young adult, but you are an adult. So it's societal shifts. So he's going through his rite of initiation at this time, and that's all you need to be aware of. Just be at peace with him and just surround him in whenever you think of him with a lot of love, positive thoughts, and you be about your own life. He has to finish his rite of initiation into manhood. That's what males need to do, and they all will have to do it in their own way. And eventually, given about, 10 or 15 years, your association with him is going to be much different because you will have a man, he's your son, but he will be a male that has earned his right of passage. And he's got to do it in his own way. Does that make sense to you?
I appreciate you. Yes, very much.
Good. Don't worry about him, dear. He's going to get his lumps and bumps. Who doesn't? I mean, that's living. So just allow him to go, and I say allow, and at his age, it's not a matter of even allowing. It is enabling you to be free from the feeling that you have to govern, you have to insulate, you have to protect. That's not your job anymore. That's not what you're supposed to do. So don't worry about it. Love him. Bless him. When you talk to him, enjoy whatever journey he's going through. And if he's in a stinking place, say, wow, what do you think you need to do? He's got to go through this initiation himself.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. And I'm so delighted you've called in.
Absolutely. I'm going to do it again.
Oh, happy holidays to you, hon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. Now, you can call in and chat with me, too, 888-627-6008. And again, all I want from you is your first name or initial. And, of course, I love to know where you're calling in from. Well, we are going to have a guest tomorrow. Children of the Fifth World is the title of the book. The author is PMH Atwater. And PMH I've had on the show before. She is a prolific writer. But she's a woman that's gone through so many fascinating experiences. And she has got an encyclopedia that she put together on research that she's done relative to what some people would call paranormal. Where actually, it really is quite normal, but we have fortunately evolved into a positioning where we can talk about these things. And you're going to find in some of the coming shows that are evolving here on the Donna Sebo Show, we're going to be talking with people that have been researched with shamans from different cultures in the world. We're going to talk about so many different things that for so long have been hidden in myth or ignored. And finally, there are some people in science that are recognizing these myths have a value to them in so many different ways. So PMH Atwater, tomorrow we will be talking with her. She's a fascinating lady. We're also going to have as a guest Robert Warrington. He put together a delightful little book for children. It's called The Little Dyslexic Angel. And I thought it was a different approach, so we're going to have two authors tomorrow. I know you will enjoy both of them. And then next week is Christmas week. Well, on Monday, we're going to be talking food. Do you think that that's important during the holiday season? Of course it is. And I have to tell you something quickly. On Monday, we're going to be talking about vegetables and things like this. But I am going to be going to a party that a friend and I talked about back in the summer. Now, we all know that Friday is the 21st. It is winter solstice, and it is representing a tremendous shift. Well, there's a lot of people who think it's the end of the world. So my girlfriend said to me during the summer, she said, well, it's an end of the world party. Do you want to come? I said, oh, absolutely. And we got to chatting, and I said, you know what we should do? We should all, when we're coming to this party, bring whatever it is that we absolutely love and share it. I mean, heck, if it's the end of the world, why not be chewing down on something that you really, really like, diet or no diet? And she laughed and she said, what a great idea. So tomorrow night, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be having an end-of-the-world party, and it's a great idea. Everybody brings what they absolutely love, their favorite food. Meat, fried chicken, and chocolate. That's right. Well, I mean, hey, no calories in either one of those. Donna Sebo here. We are going to take a break for a minute. If you want to give us a call, you call at 888-627-6008. We'll take a break. Going to come back, tell you a story about a family and their sparkle box. It's perfect for the holidays. And, hey, I think I was supposed to share a chocolate recipe with you. Mm-hmm. Real simple, real easy. So when you come back, we'll be doing that. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I want to share a quote with you by William Adams. He said, "You can have anything you want if you want it badly enough. You can be anything you want to be, do anything you set out to accomplish, if you hold to that desire with a singleness of purpose." Focus, focus, focus. I think that is something that many, many times we forget, that it is very important to do. And when we find people that have that kind of focus, we really admire them because it enables them to achieve that is most important to them. And I think being able to do that, to be able to have your focus and keep your balance in life, is a real challenge because we're often being pulled in different directions by different people who think maybe we should do this, that, or the other. And I just want to say, one of the journeys of life that we go through is learning how to become comfortable in our own skin. And it really is important. It's not easily done because so many times we have indoctrinations due to culture or whatever environments we've grown up through. So to know how to let go of that is sometimes very, very difficult because we have had it in our environment for so long. So it's a fascinating challenge. But aren't you glad you have that challenge, that you can do that? Because that's just going to show you more of the stuff you are really made of. I wanted to share the story about the Sparkle Box with you. This has to do with a family. And every Christmas, underneath their Christmas tree, is a little box that is wrapped in sparkly foil. And the kids and the mom and dad absolutely love opening that box. Now, why is that box there? What is this tradition that this family has designed on their own? Well, it all evolved because of Mom. Mom was getting ready for the holidays one year, and just like most moms, she stressed, did she have the right gifts for her kids? And she was going on and on and on. And we really get caught up in things like that, we gals. We want to make sure that everybody gets what they want, and we're shopping, and we're just planning, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. We're taking care of the food, the decorations. I mean, all of this goes on. And our minds are just going 10,000 miles a minute. Well, there was this one day, busy holiday season, as so many of us experience, and they were going through what was called an alternative gift market. And there were different representations by different groups, charity groups, Habitat for Humanity, the YWCA for the homeless. And all of these people were talking to individuals wanting to get some support from them. And she said, we'd seen this more than one year, and we would donate something that we had. And there was a family one year, it was a farm family, and they donated a bunch of baby chicks. They went out and got a bunch of baby chicks and donated them to this family because this family really needed to have them. Well, after this one episode of going through this, Mom and Dad decided that they wanted to have a discussion with their kids. They said, every time we want to make a donation to someone, any one of us, we're going to put a note inside this box, sparkly box. And This is going to be our gift in honor of a very special someone. So this started a tradition. So there was the box. The daughter, one of the daughters, earned money and picked out a gift to help her Girl Scout troop fill shoeboxes for Operation Christmas style. And then there was all kinds of opportunity for the families to sit down. They went through a catalog for animals, and they decided they were going to pool their funds as a family to be able to buy a baby calf for someone in a poor country. And all the gifts on Christmas Eve that they had recorded, they put into the sparkle box, and they put it under the tree. Now, the kids said, what are we doing this for? So Mom said, well, Christmas morning, we are going to open up the box. And they did. And so every item that had been donated, the giver was reminded of why they did it. And the tradition has become so strong in this family that the children and the parents look forward to putting their little notes about what they did for someone, thinking of someone else before themselves. And it has just been a tradition that has grown and grown and grown. And they have sent gifts, supported maybe with money, to different organizations. They've made their choices every year, and they've been very unique. So it says, on Christmas morning when we open that box and we share all of this with each other, it's a very, very special moment. And I thought I would just share that little story about the sparkle box with you, because I think traditions like that that families put together that remind them of what life is really all about. And it's not just the giving and the sharing, but it's honoring and respecting each other and realizing that each of us makes a difference, whether it is a small something we do or a gigantic something or everything in between. It doesn't make any difference. What you do makes a difference. And that's why I thought I would share this story with you. Okay, quick like a bunny, I did promise you this recipe, and I didn't do it the other day because I ran out of time. But if you want to serve a light dessert, and I know we're in the holidays, but this goes for any time. This is such a cool recipe. Now, this is a recipe for ice cream, and I'm going to give this to you. There's very few ingredients in it. You can make your own ice cream. But you can also go to the store and buy it if you're like me and you're in a hurry. So buy whatever you want. But you're going to make what's called a trellis cup. And this is so fabulous. Now, the ice cream that you can make, this is rich chocolate ice cream. You're going to need one egg, three egg yolks, 6 tablespoons of superfine sugar, 1 1/4 cups of milk, 9 ounces of dark chocolate. And to get the best dark chocolate you can get, 1 1/4 cups of heavy cream. This is how easy the ice cream is. You beat together your egg, egg yolks, and super fine sugar in your mixing bowl until it's thoroughly combined, and then you heat the 1 1/4 cups of milk. Now, gradually, you're going to pour the hot milk into the eggs, beating as you do, so an electric mixer is awesome. You put the bowl over a pan of gently simmering water, and you cook stirring until it starts to thicken. You'll know when it's at the right level when it's coating the back of the spoon. Then you break your dark chocolate into small pieces, and you add it to the hot mixture, stirring until the chocolate has thoroughly melted and blended. You're going to cover this with a sheet of dampened baking parchment and let it cool. The cream you're going to whip until it's just holding its shape, then you fold it into the cooled chocolate mixture. You're going to put it into the container that you want to put in the freezer. Really let it freeze for 1 to 2 hours, and when it's frozen 1 inch, you know, it's going to pull away from the sides. You scrape the ice cream into a chilled bowl, beat it again until it's smooth, and refreeze until it's firm. Now, to make these wonderful trellis chocolate cups that you're going to serve this yummy ice cream in, take a muffin tin and get 6 muffin tins. You're going to cover 6 alternate mounds with plastic wrap. You melt your chocolate, which is 3 1/2 ounces of dark chocolate, and you are going to place it in a pastry bag or use a plastic bag, snip off the end, and you pipe a circle around the base of your overturned muffin tin. Put the chocolate so that it's making a pattern back and forth to form a trellis. Make it double thickness, chill it until it's set, and you have got something you can serve with that ice cream, either under it, over it, or make it a top and a bottom. Yum. Beautiful, elegant, and superb. My goodness, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of the soul, of your soul. This is something you need to remember. You make a difference. You may not be ever featured on a major magazine. Don't worry about that. Just live your life with a quality of expectation. Nothing but the best is going to be done by you, and you expect nothing but the best in your own life. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.